Good morning and welcome. All are welcome to this common sacred space. Common because we are all welcome. Sacred because here we transform the ordinary and attend to the profound. We carry with us our regrets, doubts, fears, stories, laughter. May they inspire our worship. Above all, may we each meet what we need most to find on this day in this common sacred space. Words adapted from Amy Mackenzie Quinn. I am so glad to be here to welcome you this morning on behalf of all of this congregation. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm joined this morning by our music director, Susan Peck, by lay leader, John Eldridge, and by an indispensable volunteer tech team. Our volunteer DJ this morning is Melanie Rubin, and she's helping to run the service behind the scenes, and it's her very first Sunday doing so. She's been preparing for many weeks. And of course, first thing this morning, she and our backup DJ, Chris Paul, ran into a Zoom glitch none of us has seen before. So they're off to a great start with troubleshooting, and let's just cheer them on. As we get started, John has some announcements to share.
Good morning. It's great to be with you again. You know, the winter solstice is a little more than a week away. And during these days of gathering darkness, I'm reminded of the words of Wendell Berry. To go in the dark with the light on is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight and find the dark too, blooms and sings, and is traveled by dark feet and by dark wings. Good morning. Christmas Eve is just 11 days away. You are warmly invited to join us for our special Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. that evening. It will be the same meeting number as our Vespers services. And no Vespers that week. In fact, we have a special Vespers schedule throughout the month. Be sure to check the newsletter. Our usher will place information about the newsletter and Christmas Eve in the chat box. And later this month, we'll be doing our annual Las Posadas Christmas Eve pageant over Zoom, and everyone is still welcome to participate, just like in past days. We'll be reading the story aloud, and we need visuals to go along with the story. Visuals can be drawings or stage photographs that portray part of the story. These include Mary, Joseph, or the donkey, the travelers looking for a place to stay, shepherds, angels, stars, royalty, or farm animals, an inn, a manger, and the traveler's road, and any other image that suits the story. Please send your images to cpaul@uuabq.org, and thanks in advance. Finally, 'tis the season for scams. Unfortunately, there was a flurry of scam emails sent to church members purporting to be from Angela Herrera last Thursday. Angela uses the UUABQ email domain for sending official messages. She will never make requests of financial nature outside of church channels and definitely won't ask you to buy gift cards, nor will anyone else on the church staff.
Yes, unfortunately, with all the scam and phishing attempts going around, I think that just bears repeating. We will not ever ask you to give money outside of formal church channels or buy gift cards. So everybody watch out for those scammers and just ignore them or report them. Let's light our candles and chalices now. Will you join me? I'm going to light this, our chalice from our sanctuary here in Albuquerque, with the words of Christine Robinson. Christine is our minister emerita, and she's also now a treasured volunteer. In fact, today she's volunteering as an usher, so you can see her there in the videos. These are her words, and they are also reading number 448 in our hymnals in the sanctuary. We gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning in celebration of the life that we share together.
Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Not only green when summer glows, but in the winter when it snows. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Do 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 ba do 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 ba do 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 do.
Hello, my name is Jacob Johnson. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Hey, are there any kids that want to come a little closer to the screen for our time for all ages? As you can see, Lucia is already sitting up here on my desk, and it looks like she's looking a little bit gloomy. Hey, Lucia, is everything okay? What is it? I told you to never, ever, ever Zoom again. Lucia, would that be Zooming like Zoom church, or would that be Zooming like Zooming all over my house and even across my desk and even on my laptop keyboard, or both? I said never, ever, ever, ever again in the house. Okay, I guess I sounded a little bit harsh. Sorry about my harsh tone, Lucia. What I was trying to get at is that it would just be so helpful if you could just calm down a little bit, like use your indoor speed. Would that be all right? Oh, you talked to Sheldon about calming down some more? Well, I'm really impressed. That was wise. He's definitely an expert in being calm. So, what did he tell you? He told you to meditate. Oh, I see. Huh. Hi, Sheldon. You must have heard us talking about you. You are looking as calm as ever today, Sheldon. Did you tell Lucia that one way to calm down is to try meditation? Oh, you did? Well, that's a great idea. What did you tell Lucia about meditating? You told her to be like you, meaning to be still. I see. Oh, well, that is definitely one way to meditate for sure. So that's a popular way to do it. And it looks like Lucia is trying it out right now. She's being very, this is the stillest I've ever seen her, in fact. Hey, Lucia, did you know that sometimes when people meditate, they cross their legs? Let's try it. Let's try it. Criss-cross applesauce. Oh no, you look uncomfortable. Sorry, let's put him back. Whew. Okay, maybe not crossing legs is not for you. Okay, not for leopards. All right. What is it? Oh, you said that being still is just not that comfortable either? Yeah. Okay, well, that's okay. You know, there's different ways to meditate. Sitting still and being calm is one of them. Very natural for Sheldon, but maybe not for you. Hey, Olivia, I'll bet you have something to say about meditation, right? Yes. Okay. We should meditate on a wise saying. Yes. For you, I suppose that would be a saying from the Jewish Torah, right? Yes. Unitarian Universalists honor lots of different religious traditions, including Judaism, and much of the wisdom we might learn from the Torah. So, tell me a little bit more about that. We should listen to the still small voice. Oh, that is a very serious way to meditate. Hi, Carl. Woo, come right in here. Why don't you? Do you meditate? You howl at the moon? Of course you do. That sounds like just the right kind of meditating for coyotes. What, Lucia? You don't like sitting still that much, so what kind of meditation should you try? What, Olivia? Olivia says you should try stalking nothingness. Ooh. What? You know how to stalk? You mean like sneaking up on something? Of course you do. Well, I suppose stalking nothingness could be one kind of meditation. I like it. You could go out in the backyard a little later and give it a try. Hey, Olivia, owls stalk in their own way. Do you stalk nothingness? No? Oh, I see. Olivia says that she is a word person. And Carl's an action-oriented sort of guy, so naturally howling at the moon is the best kind of meditation for him. Well, friends, thank you for giving me some new ideas about meditating. I don't think I'd be very good at a stalking meditation or a howling meditation, but hey, running meditation? Here I come. I personally like to take a break from the words every once in a while. The important thing about meditation is to find the kind that works for you, that something that quiets you and helps you find some stillness and peace on the inside. I know people who color as meditation, or who knit, or who write. So, well, everybody needs to find the one that works for them. And if any of you want to write in the chat box what your favorite way of meditating and getting still on the inside is, you could do that right now. We'd love to see what your ideas are, and I'll pass them along to our friends. But for now, it's time for you guys to say goodbye. Okay? Goodbye. 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 Oh, I see some of your ideas popping up in the chat box here. Making art, swimming, playing music, journaling. I like that one too. While you drop a few more thoughts in there, I want to lift up some special thanks to Christine Robinson again, and to William Baker and Carlos Herrera for helping with that time for all ages. Drumming, praying, staining wood, hikes. What a creative congregation. Mindfulness, animals. So many great ideas. So in a second, we're gonna pause the chat and we're gonna go ahead and try some of our typical kind of meditation for these services where we breathe. Will you join me in breathing? We'll open the chat back up in a little bit. Let's breathe deeply. Breathing in peace. Breathing out love. Breathing in air filled with ancient oxygen and nitrogen particles that swirl and blow around the globe. Air that mingles with music and sustains the flight of doves. In one inhalation, you're connected with the top of Mount Everest and with the deepest underground caverns. The particles in life-giving air have traveled into the sea in the bodies of whales, and they've been filtered through forests. They passed through the bodies of the Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, Mary, Jesus, and the very first people who were your first ancestors. And they were my first ancestors too, and everyone's. Breathing in and breathing out, imagine the air's particles bonding with your worries and carrying them off. 'Tis the season to go to essence, to let superfluous things fall away like the last late autumn leaves, and see what part of you is central, what has deep roots, what has hopeful, upward-reaching branches. What of you is not dependent on the shifting winds of life's seasons? We continue in silence.
We have reached that moment in our service of enhanced community when we share our joys and concerns. Sharing either your joys or concerns together gives us an opportunity to support one another. Please use the chat bar for this sharing. If you're not able to write in the chat, please contact the church office or send an email to caring@uuabq.org. Please first share your joys, followed by your concerns, as prompted on the screen.
You are the sun, I am the dew, gifted with life for a moment or two, and I, for my time, sparkle and shine. Oh, sun, come fill me with you. Oh, sun, come fill me with you. You are the wind, I am the sail. You are my strength, and without you I fail. Breathe but a sigh, and I'll open wide. Oh, wind, come fill me with you. Oh, wind, come fill me. With you.
all these joys and concerns and loved ones, we lift up to the great powers of healing and renewal known by many names. And I add from my pastoral prayer list also Sarah Maley as she recovers from two surgeries. We lift up Chucky McHenry, who is grieving the death of her sister. And we remember the many unspoken prayers among us also, all those who are caregivers and all who are grieving, all who are experiencing financial hardship or unemployment, all who are experiencing addiction, illness, painful relationships, or major life changes, all who are suffering in any way this morning. May you know yourself to be held in a larger love. May love pour down on you and give you peace. May love pour down on all of these friends and on each person here this morning. May love and light shine in unexpected places in Albuquerque and around our whole world. May they nurture the fragile seeds of peace. May they heal our world steadily. May wisdom prevail. May peace prevail across the globe, in the US, in our city, in our homes, and in our own hearts and souls. This is our aspiration and this is our ambitious prayer. May it guide us in the living of all our days so that it passes from one person to another. And in this way, may we make our lives a blessing upon others through our manner of being in this world. Amen, and peace be with you.
And also with you. Good morning and happy Hanukkah to all of you who are celebrating Hanukkah as part of this season of bringing light into the winter darkness, the short days and long nights. I'd like to share a song that's in our gray hymnal. If you have a hymnal handy, it's number 222 in the gray hymnal. And this is a Hebrew folk song, Mi Yemalel Gvurat Yisrael. So I'll sing through each of the sections a few times in both Hebrew and English. The words are in the chat box. And it goes like this. Mi Yemalel Gvurat Yisrael Otan Mi Yimne Hen Bicholdor Yakum Hagibor Goel Ham Mi Yemalel Gvurat Yisrael Otan Mi Yimne Hen Bicholdor Yakum Hagibor Goel Ham Shma Bayamin Hachem Bazman Hazeh Makabi Moshia Ufodeh Uvyamenu Kolam Yisrael Yitacher Yakum Yigael Mi Yemalel Gvurot Yisrael Otan Mi Yimne Hen Bicholdor Yakum Hagibor Goel Ham Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age a hero or sage came to our aid. At this time of year, in days of yore, Maccabees the temple did restore. And today our people, as we dreamed, will arise, unite, and be redeemed. Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age a hero or sage came to our aid. Mi Yemalel Gvurot Yisrael Otan Mi Yimne Hen Bicholdor Yakum Hagibor Goel Ham. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Our reading today is One Small Face by Margaret Starkey, and this reading can also be found in our gray hymnal number 663. With mounds of greenery, the brightest ornaments, we bring high summer to our rooms, a as if despite the somberness of winter come. In time of want, when life is boarding up against the next uncertain spring, we celebrate and give what we have away. All creatures bend to rules, even the stars are constrained. There is a blessed madness in the human need to go against the grain of cold and scarcity.
This is the third season in Advent, the third Sunday in Advent, and I have to tell you, I was in my third year of divinity school before I learned what Advent means. Maybe that's because we did not make a very big deal of it in the UU church where I grew up, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention, distracted as I was by Santa Claus and Advent calendars as a kid, those calendars with their little paper doors that opened up to reveal a chocolate candy. I thought Advent was a kind of calendar. I also thought that there was a Christmas carol called Hark the Herald, and that is what I named one of my dolls, Hark the Herald. And when adults laughed at that name, I guessed that hark must be a verb and the herald was some kind of a horn, judging by the angels in paintings. And I still thought that the title was Hark the Herald, and I did not rethink that until I was a grown-up lady. It is really one of the hilarious parts of adulthood when we discover that we still hold on to a few misconceptions from when we were kids. Kids make the most delightful guesses about things. They're so thoughtful and they're so creative. Now I know that Advent means coming or arrival. Beginning on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, Advent is the season of expectation. In the Unitarian Universalist tradition, as in traditions all over the world, we speak of waiting for light to be reborn in the dark of winter. We're waiting for the arrival of the light. And in Christendom, that's also a metaphor for Jesus. Whatever one can say about Jesus, and people sure do say a lot, the story in the Gospels that starts with his birth is a story about someone who was born in a painful, difficult time, a time when soldiers from another nation occupied the land where he lived, a time when greed and the threat of violence loomed over everything. And he grew up to preach a radical message of hope and healing, embracing outcasts and publicly challenging those in power. He brought the light of hope in a season of spiritual darkness. Now, we know that historically speaking, Jesus was probably not born on December 25th or even in the winter. The Bible itself seems to indicate that he was born in the fall, actually. But Christmas takes place around the time of the winter solstice, which happens to be when pagans celebrated a major holiday, complete with Yule logs and evergreen trees, which were incorporated into Christmas when Christianity became more dominant. And later, sometimes compulsory. The traditions were kind of smushed together. As most of you will already know, Unitarian Universalism came out of the Christian tradition. Our religious ancestors decided that the simple religion of Jesus was more important than the complicated religion about him. And that opened up the doors to embracing all kinds of diversity in the end. We came out and then we came out, you know what I mean? Anyway, hence Christmas and Advent are our traditions and we are free to discern for ourselves what that means for us. They're ours too. So here we are considering Advent, poised between Thanksgiving and Christmas, poised also somewhere in the middle of our turning weeks, somewhere in the midst of our lives. And what does it mean for our lives to be poised here today in Advent with our gratitude and our expectation? What's the relationship between the two? Advent and Christmas come after Thanksgiving. So we have gratitude and then expectation. It seems like the holidays are in reverse order. In regular life, aren't we usually grateful for something after we get it? after what we expected has arrived? It seems that way, but thinking about this peculiar order reminds me that actually the two are not so easily organized all the time. We might expect something and then feel grateful. We may have the mindfulness to be grateful for our expectations in and of themselves, since they are so often grounded in hope. Or if we're really good, we might have an attitude of gratitude, right? Outside of expectations, just an ongoing practice of naming and giving thanks, even for the ordinary in our lives. On the other hand, expectations can sneak up on us too, going unrecognized until they are unmet, and we might feel frustrated or offended. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever found yourself feeling cranky or disappointed in another person because of an expectation you had that maybe neither you nor they were even aware of? Oops. And then, of course, there are times when the unexpected brings us to gratitude and even to amazement. I've got a story about that. It's a story that starts out kind of sad, but it gets better, I promise. When I was a teenager, about 15 years old, my family hit some really hard times. First, my dad took a trip, and while he was away, my mom quickly moved me and my sister out. Their marriage was over. We left our small town and we moved an hour away to an apartment in the city. What I remember most about that little basement apartment is that it had dingy cement walls and huge pipes that ran across the ceiling. And the windows had black metal security bars on them. It reminded me of a jail. Then my dad was sent away for longer to the Middle East for the first Gulf War, Desert Storm. And by the time the holidays rolled around, my grandmother, who used to always take my sister and me to the beach and who called me a dirty dog one time when I beat her at a game of crazy eights, was very sick with cancer. In fact, she only had weeks left. And I could not believe we weren't going to have her with us anymore. Finally, as if that weren't depressing enough, I told you this was going to start out sad, my mother and my sister and I didn't have enough money to get by very well, and we had to depend on various kinds of public assistance. Now, if you've ever been on public assistance, you know it's not a really fun way to live. You spend a lot of time waiting in lines, answering intrusive questions, filling out forms, trying to understand complicated rules. You can't live comfortably on the help you get. And if in your longing to rebel against this reality, you spend some food stamps on, say, shrimp with cocktail sauce or a $6 container of baba ganoush, other people will not think well of you. Now, this was the 1990s, and there were no SNAP cards like people get now. There was no discrete debit card type thing. And food stamps weren't stamps either. They were paper bills like money, but they were a different color, like Monopoly money. And it said food coupon on it, and it had a dollar value. When you used it, the people behind you in line could totally see what you were doing. And it was a downer, even though you never forget what a blessing it is to have any help at all when you're going through something hard. I would like to say that we banded together with an attitude of gratitude in the weeks before Christmas that year, and that we counted the blessings we did have. After all, at least the three of us were together, my mom, my sister, and I. At least we had a place to live. Our apartment might not have been pretty, but it was warm. And some of our neighbors were really nice. They came up with the great idea of leaving unwanted clothing in a special basket in the laundry room so that we could all trade with each other. And they were all college students and I was a teenage girl, so that was like hitting the jackpot. I was blessed also to have time to say goodbye to my grandmother. Not everybody is so lucky. And even though my dad was going away to a war, he did not seem to be in grave danger for the time being. But I had a hard time focusing on the good things. I really wasn't feeling very grateful at all. My expectations were not good that year, And I remember that even though I knew I should be grateful, I was disappointed. It was going to be what my friend Donna called a good old socks and underwear kind of Christmas, which means if we had any presents to give each other, they would probably be like socks and underwear, simple things that we needed, nothing very exciting. Now, Christmas is not all about presents, but let's face it, they're right up there. Julie Andrews even sang a song about paper packages tied up with string, and she seemed very virtuous. I was dreading Christmas that year. And you know, that happens. I mentioned that expectations can be grounded in hope, but sometimes holiday expectations are not that hopeful. And that's true even in non-pandemic years. If you're sick or you've recently received a scary diagnosis, you might not be feeling cheerful. If you're missing a loved one who's far away, or worse, who has died, the absence of that person might be so painful. If you're lonely, or you've lost your job, or going through a separation or divorce, or just not feeling good about yourself for whatever reason, your expectations for Christmas might be dreary. It happens. But then, things you don't expect can happen too. And when your expectations are low, that could be a good thing. On that Christmas morning years ago, when I was feeling pretty hopeless, my sister and I woke up to the sound of exclamations coming from outside our door. It was our mother's voice, and she was very excited about something out there. We climbed out of bed to see what was happening, and there she was in her pajamas, and next to her in the hallway, to our surprise, was a huge pile of presents. When I called my mom and told her I was going to be sharing this story, she reminded me that there were 52 of them. It was unbelievable. Somebody had left them in the early morning hours outside the door. Presents picked out for each one of us with our names on them. There were blankets, sweaters, makeup, slippers, chocolate. I don't remember what else. I do remember insisting that my mother must have known who left them. She has always sworn she didn't. My hunch is that it was either somebody from First Unitarian Church in Portland, Oregon, where we were members, or Santa. What I did know was that we just weren't as alone as it seemed. We had presents, sure, but really, seriously, even better was the fact that somebody was looking out for us. Maybe somebody I had never even really noticed was near. In different ways, and even in some similar ones, I have seen this congregation take care of each other through thick and thin. There's a quote by Albert Schweitzer in our hymnals at church. He says, "At times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us." So often we cannot take away another's troubles or sadness any more than that mysterious gift giver could solve my family's hard times. But what we can offer each other is the light that never goes out, because we carry it for each other and pass it person to person. "You don't have to worry if you can't see it all the time," we can say, "because I've got it for you." I talked about this back in July, but I'm gonna say it again because it bears repeating to you, especially as we head deeper into this difficult winter. But that's one of the gifts of being in a spiritual community. You alone do not always have to keep the faith. The faith that no feeling is final, the faith that this too shall pass, faith that you are lovable, redeemable, and worthy, the faith that justice might take generations, but that it is inevitable, the faith that we are held in a larger love. When you are in a spiritual community, the community can keep that faith when you can't, and you can just be where you need to be. So to anyone who might be wondering how you're going to get through the coming days and weeks, I know that things are hard right now. Hang on a little bit longer. Hope really is on the way. Here is my expectation and my deepest hope now, that this winter, whether you're a newcomer or a longtime member or somewhere in between, that you find in this church a community to bring your whole self with all of your pain and longing, expectations, celebration, and gratitude. And may this season bring you many unexpected joys. Happy Advent, and hark the herald, may it be so. Our band, Disparate Parts, invites you to sing along now with Peter Mayer's solstice song, Where is the Light? And can I just say that we're all so happy to have the wonderful Sarah Wofford back singing with the band. Let's sing together.
When it's late December, dark and cold,
where is the light?
When old man year is bending low,
where is the light?
When the sun runs off to bed too soon,
where is the light?
And there's nothing but the skinny moon,
where is the light?
Can you tell me where is the light?
Where is the light? Where is the light? Oh, the light's inside of me.
Well, it's dark each morning when I rise,
where is the light?
And it's still dark when my eggs are frying,
where is the light?
And it's dark when off to work I go,
where is the light?
And it's dark again when I get home,
where is the light?
Can you tell me
where is the light? Where is the light?
Can you tell me
where is the light? Oh, the light's inside of me.
It's in my skin, in my bones, in my heart, and in my soul. That light of life so bright and golden like a summer day. When the sun goes missing in the sky, it is rising in my eyes, chasing all that which I away. I'm burning bright like kerosene.
Where is the light?
I'm twinkling like the Pleiades.
Where is the light?
I'm dancing like a candle flame.
Where is the light?
I'm flaming like a fruit flambé.
Where is the light?
Can you tell me
where is the light? Where is the light? Where is the light? Oh, the light's inside of me.
Can you tell me
where is the light? Where is the light?
Can you tell me
where is the light?
Two, three, four.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
We take our offering this morning with these reminders by Edwin Robinson. There are two kinds of gratitude, the sudden kind we feel for what we take, and the larger kind we feel for what we give. Our change for the future recipient this quarter is SAGE. SAGE provides support for older LGBT people in Albuquerque metropolitan area through advocacy, social programs, education, support groups, and resource distribution. They counter isolation, fear, and loneliness by creating a caring community of LGBT elders who will look out for each other. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box. And if you prefer not to give online, you can simply mail a check to the church. Earlier this month, we asked folks during worship to share one word for the coming year. Our tech art director, Chris Paul, has formed these into a dove meditation that we'll be sharing during our offertory for the rest of the holiday season. Let us now exercise the enduring power of generosity.
Thank you.
that is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of SAGE. And now we are nearing the end of this formal service. As always, you are invited to linger and chat with a small group in a breakout room afterward. If you'd like, all you need to do is just stay on all the way through the postlude and we'll connect you with a small group. And if you'd like a discussion question to get your conversation started, here's a suggestion. Has there ever been a time in your life when you had low expectations and it led to unexpected joy or gratitude? Has there ever been a time in your life when you had low expectations and it led to unexpected joy or gratitude? And now let us extinguish our chalices and our candles. But as we do, may the light of love go with us, and may love bless you and keep you until we're gathered again. Blessed be.